Welcome back to What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. I am Tony Williams.
And I am Chauncey Williams.
And we're glad to be back. Hopefully you had a good Halloween last week.
Yes, harvest. Halloween, okay. You know, trunk or treats.
Yeah, we had to move ours inside because the rain didn't let up. But the kids had a good time. I did too.
Seemed like it was a positive event in our community during that weekend. Not too much happened.
No, it didn't, man. But I tell you, that was a lot of candy that went through our church. A lot of candy.
Yep. So the only thing about it being educated, and you go back to school, the kids got their candy all in their pockets.
Oh, really?
In their desk, they gonna have it on them.
Monday, they was jumping off the walls. Monday had their sugar fix going.
Yep, and then you find candy wrappers everywhere. Oh. You know, the evidence is there. So I know the kids had a good time too. So.
Well, good. Yeah, I heard of no ill events that took place, which was great. So today. We're going to talk a little bit about no-fault insurance in the state of Michigan.
Oh, that's great, man. My wife got in an accident last week. It was like a little bumper, teaser, you know. But
okay.
She was worried, you know, she was panicking. But I think we handled it pretty good. So that's a great topic to start off with today.
Yeah. Have you gotten any phone calls from any lawyers or anybody like that? Third parties? You haven't gotten any calls?
Nope. Everything it was the other person's fault. Check was sent. We got an estimate. We got two or three estimates, and it's gonna get handled in the next week. So everything went out good.
Well, good. Yeah, I will loop back around to that piece of discussion later on. But again, we want to talk about the Michigan no fault law, which basically states that if you operate a vehicle in the state of Michigan, there is a minimum amount of insurance you must carry. That insurance is property damage and public liability. Property damage means that while operating the car, if you lose control and you run into somebody's house or building, that policy will pay for that property damage. The personal liability, public liability portion of it says that if you injure a person while operating that vehicle, you are liable, and they can collect up to X amount of dollars depending on your limits of liability. So, for an example, the state minimum is 2040.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen those numbers like on insurance policies, like they have
20,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20,000, 40,000.
How does that work?
Okay, so if it's an incident that involves one person, the policy will pay $20,000 towards that person's medical bills.
Okay.
If it's a car and there's more than one person, they all are injured, the maximum amount that will be paid is $40,000.
Okay. So if I'm in a car by myself and I have an injury, it'll cover it to
$20,000.
If I'm with like two of my friends and we're out somewhere and we get an accident, they'll cap it at 40.
At 40, right. That's it.
So then if we got our own health insurance, that'll kick in. And
that will
other
kick
things.
In.
Okay.
Which is another tool that is being used to determine the kind of rate that you get. Now, if you go into insurance offices for a quote and you actually take the policy, 9 times out of 10, it will ask you for your medical card to prove that there is a coordination of benefits that says that if whatever the insurance company doesn't pay, as far as the medical bills, that your medical insurance will pick up the remainder of that bill.
Well, that could be tough for some people.
So 2040, let's think about it. I'll give you a real an example. I had a friend of mine sitting at a stop sign and waiting for traffic to clear, and he noticed a motorcycle coming down the street, had his turn signal on to turn right. So he checked to his left again, and traffic was clear, and he knew the motorcyclist was going to turn, so he pulled out into the intersection. But the motorcyclist changed his mind. He didn't want to turn at the next intersection, so my friend hit the guy on the motorcycle.
Mm.
The law clearly states that if you're at an intersection and you pull out, you must wait for all traffic to clear, regardless if that guy had his signal on, ready to turn.
Even if he changes his mind at the last minute.
Even if he changes his mind, you as the automobile driver becomes liable or negligent. So he hit him pretty good.
Hold on, Tony.
Okay.
You're telling me somebody, he saw him make the wrong signal and he anticipated like, oh, he's going to turn this way.
Right.
And instead, at the last second, he turned the other way.
He changed his mind and continued to go straight. That's no different. I had another case, same thing, ladies.
So I'm at fault if I'm driving that car.
You're at fault.
So he has it right away, even if he's making a bad choice.
Yep.
That's 50, no fault.
You were 51% at fault, okay? Which means that if you had have waited, if you would have waited for him to either make his turn or change his mind and clear the intersection and you pull out, all you're all good, okay?
Yes.
But that is the law. So, motorcyclist injured, has to go to the hospital, major surgery. Tibia's broke in a number of places, shattered. Hospital bills came to like $85,000. Okay.
Now, so what does that affect the insurance? Say if I'm riding around with just the basic insurance on my car.
So if you have PL and PD.
Yes.
With the basic minimum of 2040 and the hospital bill was 85. They're coming after your paycheck. They're coming after your house.
They garnishing.
That's another $65,000 that they got to come up with.
So I can't even cover him with my health insurance? None.
If
I'm riding around with just the basic insurance.
Yep, the minimum.
I hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, 2040. He's one individual on a motorcycle. Yep. That's 20,000.
That's it. That's the cap.
But his bill comes to $65,000.
Right.
So how can I make up for that? If I'm a consumer and I'm trying to buy insurance, but I got the basic just for me to drive and my car get tore up, I can't get a new car. But
nope.
What can I do?
You can purchase higher limits of liability. You can go from a 2040 to a 5100. You can go to a 100-300, which is 100,000 for one occurrence, or $300,000 for multiple. You can go to $500,000, okay? You can purchase these in your policies. You can also buy an umbrella, which will exceed any coverages that you have. So $1 million umbrella, you have an accident, and the bills are massive, okay? They come up to $750,000. You are carrying limits of liability on your auto policy at $500,000.
Wow, I got another question. This is
great. Umbrella will take over and pay the amount that exceeds the $500,000. Okay?
Okay.
So, again, I can tell you, it's really tough to understand this no-fault law. I have people says, well, I just want the state minimum. I just want no-fault. But there's a lot of moving parts to this no-fault law.
Wow, it's got me thinking about something else where, you know, that they have that drive sharing. When people do that drive sharing, they get paid for it. They think they're making a lot of money. But right. Then they're out there in their own car on their own insurance. And the company's saying, but you're using your own car at your own risk. And say if you get in an accident and whatever your coverage is, that's what you have.
Unfortunately, they can void your policy. When you fill out their policy, some of the things that they will ask you is, do you drive people for a compensation? You do pizza delivery, you know, door to door newspapers. Say this is out. You can't do that unless you have a policy that specifically covers you, like a commercial liability policy. The insurance company can actually void that policy in the event there is a claim. And it says you misrepresented your business or what you was using your vehicle for.
And that's when you do your policy. I can remember having policies in the past when I was living in another city, and they ask you all those questions like, how many miles you drive your car to and from work?
Yes.
And then people think that, oh, I get a cheaper insurance. But if you find your car like 100 miles, you say, where you were going? I was going to work. Like,
right.
No, you were out of your limit for going in your car.
You misrepresented a material fact in the purchase of that policy.
So now you avoid. So you get an accident.
You're done. They pay nothing.
Wow. That goes into the fraud part.
Well, that's kind of a it's a thin line, but it can be considered fraud. Fraud, I think, is a little more blatant act versus a misrepresentation of the facts. So that's why when you get an insurance policy, they ask you all these questions and actually have you sign a document to say that these are true statements.
So now you, like you said, it's no-fault law. So now a lawyer designed these laws. So you sign. That means you are able body and mind that, to know what you read and you understood it.
Yeah.
And you committed to that.
That's right. And they will hold you to it. Everything that I said in that policy is true. And if you are in the process of like these Uber, Uber drivers?
I've done it. Okay. I've done it in the past. And like you said, I've seen people get in accidents and it's been some bad things that happen.
They will void your policy. But you can get coverage, okay? You just have to get the specific correct coverage. And more than likely, it will be a commercial-type policy, okay, which underwriting requirements are a little bit more stringent than for personal lines, okay? But if you are a Uber driver, you should definitely talk to your insurance agent about the level of liability that you have when you transport people for compensation.
For whatever. Because I know as a coach, I got a rider in my insurance to transport kids.
Okay.
Yep. So I do have that inside of mine. That's why I had that truck. So like I always like I'm using that, and it say like for practice, for basketball, and for things like that. It specifically says the things that I do with that vehicle. That's why I always drive that vehicle. I don't never really drive my wife's car because my wife's car doesn't have that rider in it to transport people.
Yep. Well, you did the right thing. You're smart in that respect to get the additional liability coverage because you're carrying additional people in your vehicle more than your family.
That's right.
And you're not getting paid.
Yeah, okay. You're definitely not as a coach. Not getting paid nothing. But that's you're not there to get paid. You're there to help.
So you do it. Yeah, that's your civic duty.
That's right. My civic duty.
Help our young men become better young men. Yeah. You mentioned earlier about your wife having an accident and she received a check. A part of the no-fault law is called mini tort.
Okay. Because I didn't understand. I was like, hold on, why did they just give us a check? That's the first time. Because I've never really had an accident at all. I've never had an accident. So it's like when that check came, I'm looking at like, don't they supposed to just pay the company that's going to fix the car? Because I went out and got estimates. I went and got two estimates.
Right. Well, no. How that works is that's a part of the no-fault law, and it will pay up to a maximum of $1,000.
Okay.
If you're not at fault and the person that hits you and you both have just PLPD, no comprehensive, no collision, you can still collect up to $1,000. In the state of Michigan, you're required to get an estimate to show your policy declaration page to clearly state that you were insured.
Okay.
And a police report.
Yeah, and we did those things.
Okay. You do those three things, you turn it into that individual's
insurance,
the person that was at fault.
Yep.
And you can collect up to $1,000. I've seen them just issue a check for up to $1,000, even though
it was an easy process. It was
Oh yeah, it's a matter of days to get that process through mini tort.
Okay.
The other piece about property damage on no fault is if your car is parked and someone
that's
legally
my
parked.
Next question, yes.
Legally parked, and someone hits your car, they have PLPD. You have PLPD. They got to stay there, too, so you can get their insurance information, by the way.
If they drive off, it's over.
It's over. But if they will stay at the scene, exchange information, you can actually get your car fixed above the mini tort because that is considered property damage. And if you have the bare minimum of the $20,000, the insurance company will pay for that person's vehicle to get fixed. Because they were not driving it, it was parked, which makes it a property versus if you were driving it. If you were driving it and you both had an accident, then nobody gets paid for the most part.
So like even like when the shopping cart dings, that don't cover it.
Don't count.
They just got you. They got you.
Don't count. Or if the tree falls on your car, right?
Yes.
We had a couple storms here years back where tree limbs fell on people's cars and
depending on their coverage, they're
not covered. They're not covered if you have PLPD.
Okay. All right.
So if you have comprehensive.
Gun. Yes.
Okay. Comprehensive says that if it's stolen, if it catches on fire, or if it's damaged through hail or tree or whatever, comprehension covers that loss. Hitting a deer. If you hit a deer or an animal while driving your vehicle, that is considered a comprehensive loss.
Okay.
So you have to have that kind of coverage in order to be made whole.
That can be confusing because I've read in other places that they talk about collision or comprehensive when you hit an animal. So it's comprehensive.
Yes, it's comprehensive.
Collision is any other
object, like a vehicle.
Yes.
Okay. And you know, your insurance company can interpret it a number of ways, but if they are really, you know, truly in your corner, they're going to take care of you. Simple reason is that with comprehensive, you have a deductible all the time, okay, regardless of what cost. If you're driving down the road in the wintertime, you hit a patch of black ice, lose control of your car, you go down in the ditch, right? That is a comprehensive at-fault claim.
Okay.
Okay? Clear it, pure and simple. But if you hit another vehicle, it's now a collision. And you can have certain kinds of collisions where you don't have a deductible. Okay, there's three types of collision coverage in the state of Michigan. One is called limited, which is a step above having just no fault. So limited says I can get my car fixed if there's an accident and I'm not at fault.
Okay.
If there's an accident and I'm at fault and I have limited insurance, they won't fix my car. Okay. Standard collision says regardless if I'm at fault or if I'm not at fault, I have a deductible, be it $500, $1,000, whatever your deductible might be. Standard collision says you always have a deductible. But then you can also use mini tort if you have standard collision and someone hits you and they stay on the scene, you get a police report, your deductible is $500. But the damages might be more than, you know, damages might be $3,000. The mini tort will pay your deductible, okay? And then your insurance company will pay for the rest of it to get fixed. And then you have broad form. That is the best, which says that if you walk out of here and your car was parked on the street, somebody hit it and they took off, you get your car fixed with no deductible, okay? The only time you have a deductible with broad form collision is when you're at fault.
Okay, so like my next question is, most of the times when you buy like a car from a dealership, a brand new car or like a slightly used car, 2 or 3 years old, what kind of insurances, because they require you to have a certain amount
of
insurance. That's right. So what are they requiring?
Well, a lot of them have increased their deductibles up to $1,000 because insurance is so expensive in Michigan, trying to give them a little bit of cushion. For years, it's been $500 was the max that you could have for a deductible, $500. So this is what happens. When you purchase the car and you get the insurance, the lien holder information goes into the database at the insurance office.
Yeah, whoever financed the vehicle to you.
Right. Their information is a part of your policy. In the event you fail to pay the premium on your auto policy, the insurance company notifies the finance company that this person is delinquent, policies went into lapse and coverage. Then you get a letter from your finance company telling you that we will put forced insurance on your car. Okay? Forced insurance only covers comprehension and collision.
So then who pays for it then?
They roll that into your loan.
Okay.
Whatever that number is, they don't shop around. Normally, it's pretty expensive.
they throw you okay. You a bone. This is here. There you go.
but you're not legally able to drive that car in the state of Michigan because you don't have PL and PD.
It's not yours because it's no fault state.
Right. But the insurance company, the finance company, is just going to cover their risk, which is you driving that car in case you have an accident for comprehensive and collision. So now, that person has to go and get a policy for PL and PD because they have not satisfied the state statute for no-fault insurance.
So if you don't pay your insurance, you ride around in this new car or whatever, and then they get you this this insurance that they make you get.
Right.
And you get in an accident, and you don't have no insurance, but you ride around in insurance that they made you get.
Right. And then they'll get paid. Okay. What happens is SR-22,
yes,
which is a state penal system for the most part, that says since you were in violation of the state law, you didn't have any no-fault insurance, now we're going to make you pay a fine of $2,500.
Okay.
Okay, so there's two components to that.
And it could be court time or jail time, couldn't it?
It could potentially, because normally it's a vicious cycle where you can't pay it, so they haul you back in the court and they tack more on to it.
No fees.
And
they just had the responsibility fees.
That's what it is. That's what SR-22 is.
They get some people for that.
Yeah, which is another hot topic in Lansing. Actually, it's more of a poor folks tax. Okay.
Yeah, get rich off of them.
95% of the people that are subject to this law could probably fall into a poverty level or lower middle class because they can't pay to have auto insurance. So when they get caught driving without insurance, then they get a double whammy because, you know, we're going to fine you for having no insurance. Now you got to go out and purchase insurance plus pay this fine.
Yeah, and then plus, like you said, people that got, like, bad credit or things like that, the insurance be so high for them.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just drive my car. Like, don't do that. Please don't do that, audience. It's not worth it. It come back on you so hard. It's not worth it at all. Just sit down and get, like we mentioned a couple weeks ago, get your budget together, look at your credit. Then think about trying to buy a vehicle and have some good insurance on that so you can cover your life. That's
yeah. Yeah, because it could be a life-altering event. You're out there driving with no insurance. You have an accident, injure somebody. It could be ugly. So,
And people still doing that to this day. Like,
Riding dirty.
Like, they get the paper. Just had a little paper. And think just because they get pulled over by the police, they're good. But that's like driving a gun. That's like driving a daily vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, then
with no license. I'm out here.
How can the state offer the 7-day policy, which people pay $200-$300 for a 7-day policy for insurance? And it's clearly on the certificate. And the intent was to purchase that for transporting a vehicle from an auction.
Yeah, when you buy something.
Yeah, okay. But somebody found a loophole
and they used it.
They call it a jump start policy. But no, it's a waste of money is what it is.
It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
That you usually pull it over, just show you that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's become an epidemic almost with people driving without insurance. So the state has set up an entire department, okay?
Loss prevention.
And what they do is when you go to the Secretary of State office to purchase to get your tags and you hand them a certificate of insurance, they make a copy of it. They may even call the insurance agent's office, which I've had happen many times, to verify that it's not a forged document.
Have you ever got anybody like that trying to
use your company? Yes. Oh, yes. Many times.
So there's, man.
Yeah, many times. So they compile all these, you know, the ones that they don't call on, they save them up and they batch send once a week out to the insurance companies, okay? And the insurance companies have to get back with the state to verify that, yep, these are legitimate proofs of insurance. Because if not, you'll get a letter from the state stating that your license plate is no longer any good, it's been revoked, and the next thing is your driver's license unless you come and show proof that you have insurance for that vehicle.
Wow. So let me ask you this question. This is the next question. Like, when somebody gets some insurance like that, they don't even value the vehicle that they probably bought, you know. But then for a question for you, you probably got to call, the vehicle that you, like, they have insurance on that? Like, what's a case that you heard? Like, what? They got fake insurance on this kind of car? You know?
I've had it. What, I mean, 1981.
Okay.
Guy drive up with a 1981. He wants full coverage. Okay? I don't know why. Because if you go to a Kelley Blue Book.
In 2015, he wants full coverage on the 1981.
Yeah.
Was it like a...
No, it was not a collector's
restored
item.
Restored or nothing.
No.
He was riding the bucket.
My boy just said he always wanted, you know, he always wanted full coverage on his ride. So I said, okay, take a look at what you would receive as far as a settlement payout in the event your car got damaged.
Okay.
And you go to Kelley Blue Book, put in the year, make and model, mileage on the car, and it'll tell you if it's in good, fair, excellent condition, the kind of money that you would get from your insurance company. Because that's what they use to determine what the payout is on your vehicle. But, you get people that just, you know, they've always had full coverage, and they want to maintain full coverage, which, in my opinion, safe driver, never had an accident, get limited. Buy limited. Because if someone hits you, your car is going to get repaired. It's going to get fixed. And it's like extremely, extremely cheap, limited is, versus broad form or standard.
Okay.
So I had one more for you, Chance, and I can't remember what it was now. We got to getting into this insurance.
I think we were talking about, I think it was fraud. Did you mention fraud?
Yeah, fraud. So not to get too far away from the topic of auto insurance, I'll hit a little bit on fraud as it relates to the state of Michigan.
Okay.
We have the highest premiums for insurance in the country, okay? One of the reasons is that if you are injured in an automobile accident and you have insurance, the benefits are unlimited, okay? It's not as prevalent as it is in the east side of the state, but they're what they call these PIP meals, which is personal injury protection. And they're ran by doctors and lawyers and chiropractors. Just like your wife, when I ask you, did she get a phone call from her accident? In Detroit, you would have gotten a phone call.
Okay.
They would have talked about coming and having a consultation to make sure that you are being treated properly by your insurance company. Mm. And we're going to send you over to our medical facility to get some x-rays, make sure there's nothing wrong with your back, do a CAT scan, just do some workups for you, and we'll take care of the bill. Don't you worry about the bill. So when you go to the hospital and you're injured in an automobile accident, and they want to do an x-ray on your arm, so your arms feel it's numb, that x-ray could be $1,000 for the automobile company. You go in with a medical, say you fell off your ladder at home, that same x-ray is $100.
It's your medical insurance.
Yeah. See, there's medical insurance, and hospitals have a fee-for-service contract, per se, where they kind of agreed upon what would cost you for reasonable service. Don't have that with the automobile industry, with the auto insurance industry. There's no limit.
Wow.
So that CAT scan
be $5,000.
Could be $5,000. And what these doctors have done in Detroit, they have their own clinics.
Okay. So then if I ain't had no health insurance and I go in just with the car insurance.
Don't matter. You're good. You're a good candidate.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna run these bills up. We're gonna have about a $40,000-$50,000 bill
to the car insurance company.
To the auto insurance company. Because this is under your PIP.
Yeah, that's
look on your policy and you'll see this PIP. Personal injury protection. This is different from liability coverage in your policy. And it's like billions of dollars.
So who didn't pay?
The doctors, the lawyers, and the hospitals.
Off the insurance.
Off the insurance.
Auto insurance. So they had to cap the other one because.
Well, that's a liability. Okay. That's a injury protection from a liability standpoint. But when it comes to actually getting the medical services, it becomes a whole different component in your policy. It comes under PIP, okay? And if you actually if you were working, this would pay for your lost wages. If you couldn't perform the normal duties you do at home, such as cutting your grass, raking your leaves, whatever, cleaning your house, it would pay for that.
Oh, so it's protecting unlimited. The consumer. It's protecting the consumer. That's great.
It's unlimited. But the fraud part is what hurts the system, okay? It's like I say with your wife, she said, "Say I wasn't really hurt, you know." But there's other folks that would say, "Yeah, I was hurt.
This is my ticket."
Okay.
There's a ticket out of there.
That's right.
They're like, I'm off work for a year.
Can I get paid?
Can I get paid? Abusing the system.
Abusing the system. And it's so bad that they've enacted the RICO Act. Mm. The RICO Act was put in place to fight the mob.
Yeah.
Okay. Which gives law enforcement latitude that not normally seen. Right. Where they can wiretap and they can do the surveillance. And they're actually doing this in these fraud meals where they're actually wiretapping, they're doing surveillance because it's so much money. And the insurance companies are actually putting together investigative units within their own companies to fight this fraud.
Or retire FBI agents and stuff like that.
That's wow. Right. It's huge. And, you know, we ran out of time today. I don't have, you know, there's some numbers great, that I though. Can
this
share
is,
with
this
you.
This is great information that our community really needs to know that it's serious.
Yeah.
It's serious having your insurance, looking over the terms and everything that you have and knowing how you're covered.
Yeah, understanding what your coverages are from a liability standpoint. You know, if you hit a kid on a bike, okay, and it was a mistake, no doubt it was a mistake. But fact of the matter is, if they need hospital medical attention, there's a cost associated with it. And guess who gets to pay for that? The person driving the vehicle. End of story.
Now, would that go up under the unlimited too if the kid didn't have no insurance?
No, that's your liability.
So that's
you were negligent.
So that's 2040.
That's 2040.
Ooh, if it's $80,000, you're gonna get sued for it.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you for today. This is a lot of this.
Yeah, man, time went so fast. What happened?
I don't know. I guess we're just having a ball, man. We had 103.7 The Beat. Just get it in, and we're growing, and we're trying to do better for our community and show them that we got some great things for them.
Yeah, and information, knowledge. Knowledge is key. And, you know, we like I told you before, we don't have all the answers, but if you got a question, we'll get you an answer. So we appreciate the listeners in Muskegon. Again, we appreciate 103.7 The Beat for allowing us to have this dialogue, to talk about issues that most people don't get a chance to talk about or hear talked about. So I'm really excited about what we're doing.
Yeah, we're here every Saturday at 3 o'clock, 103.7 The Beat, with our show, What Do I Do Now? Your Guide to Credit, Debt, and Planning for Financial Success. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams. 103.7 The Beat.